from Who's Got It Better Than Us to Brick by Brick. It's always the 49ers way, from off-season to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers Cutback.
Welcome to the Red and Bold Show. I am Mark Adams. I'm one of the hosts of the show, and I'm joined by my co-host, Anthony Robertson of 49ers Cutback. What's up, Ant? How's it going?
It's going well. I'm enjoying being inside where it's nice and cool here in California. It's extremely hot. We are now excited when we don't get triple-digit days. So when it hits 98, we're celebrating. But that's not the case today. It's another triple digit day. So it's nice to be inside and talking to you and talking about the 49ers, because we're just around the corner now. Receiver show got put out on Netflix today. I'm looking forward to getting to that later on tonight. So it's going to be a fun day. And it's always great when we get to have our conversations on the Red and Bold Show.
So how many days have you had triple digits?
I think it was like, I don't know, I lost count, but I think it was like 10 in a row or something like that. Where we were hitting it, and we weren't even hitting like just 100. It was like 110, 112. It got pretty ridiculous there for a little bit. And I think today was supposed to be slated for 106. I tried to not do as much stuff outside today. But yeah, it's hot in California. And luckily for the 49ers, being in Santa Clara, they're usually about 10 degrees cooler from where I am. So It should help out a little bit.
So is this Bay Area, or you're not like in the Valley or anything like that?
I'm in the Valley. Yeah, I'm okay, in the Valley. Right. So I'm right there between Sacramento and Stockton is where I'm located. I'm about an hour and a half away from San Jose, kind of give an idea of where I'm at. But yeah, it gets extremely hot here, and a lot hotter than it would be in the Bay. The closer you go to San Francisco, the cooler it's going to get. A little bit further away, San Jose, Santa Clara, all that, it's going to go up, you know, 10, 15 degrees, but it's hot.
Because I'm not from California, so I don't know a lot about Bay Area weather, except that I hear that it's incredible. And so to hear, you know, I mean, I know that like Fresno, that, you know, that it gets really hot there. But I really don't know much. I lived for a long time in Oklahoma, and I remember one summer we had 50 something straight days over 100. And so it was brutal. Now I'm in the Chicago area and we rarely see 100. Now the trade-off is in the wintertime, it's brutal. So I don't know. You know, I'd like to find that place that's 70 degrees year round, but I've never been there. So.
You and me both. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
If you're listening audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads, all the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here.
Well, let's jump in. We're going to do something a little different today. We're going to take a look at players who right now are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents in 2025. So these are players that right now are headed into their final season with the 49ers. I want to look at who we think they might bring back, who we hope they might bring back, those kinds of things. And then if we have time at the end, we'll talk a little Debo Samuel, because there's some things that have come out about him here lately. So let's jump into this. The first, the most expensive one is Charvarius Ward, one of the top corners in the NFL. Matt Maiocco was on with us on Monday. He talked a little bit about Ward being on everybody's radar now. And this is one of the, it's a good and bad thing. It's good because he's one of the top corners in the NFL. It's bad because he's about to be a free agent and there are going to be a lot of teams interested in him. And Matt talked about maybe the 49ers working out a deal with him and D'Amador Lenore during the season or right before this season so that they can keep both or at least one of them. What do you think about Ward? Do you think that there's obviously we'd love to have him back. Do you think that he's about to play his final season with the 49ers or is there a chance that they could work something out and end up keeping him?
I think they want to work something out. I think that Charvarius Ward being on one side of the field, you know what you're going to get. And the 49ers have had so many ups and downs with the cornerback position throughout John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan's tenure that they could use some stability there. They've just never had those guys that can consistently do it. Richard Sherman was the closest, but he dealt with the injury. He came in. He struggled a little bit. To me, I think that they want stability. And Charvarius Ward is about as stable as you can get at the position. He plays almost every single week. He always has production. Last year, he had an all-pro year, which means he's ascending, which also means he wants to get paid. And yeah. So Charvarius Ward is looking to get a big payout. And right now, for a cornerback of his stature, what's that going to be, $17, $18 million a year? You just have to decide how much you want to spend on cornerback, especially when you've got running mates and other players that you need to make sure you pay too. But I think that they would love to have him here. I think they'd love to find a amount of money that works for both sides. We have seen Charvarius Ward work with the 49ers and restructure deals and be able to create extra cap space. So he's been a team player in that regard. But there's nothing that makes me think this guy's not going to want the top money that he could possibly get. The 49ers have to decide if the juice is worth the squeeze. The play on the field says yes, but when you're looking at how the puzzles work and the puzzle pieces of building a salary cap, it could make it so he gets squeezed right out. So it's going to be interesting, but I hope that they can work out something with Charvarius Ward. And it's probably better to get it done now than wait and have him have another all-pro season, in which case he's probably going to get a huge deal on the open market.
Yeah, you know, because you go back to last season where there were some games where the 49ers had Charvarius Ward line up against opposing receivers, the number one receiver on the team. So you think about that first Seattle game when he lined up on DK Metcalf and pretty well shut him down. I think Metcalf had like three catches for 38 yards or something like that. And so really good job by Charvarius Ward. One of the things that was interesting was that there wasn't there a report or a rumor or something that John Lynch had to get involved in and make Steve Wilks set that up to where Ward would follow the number one receiver? Do you remember something like that last year?
Yeah, there was a report that came out that John Lynch basically came up and said, hey, you're going to do this, right? Kind of insinuating that this needs to be done. And that's what you have to do. You're right. That's what you need from a top corner, that you have to have the guy that can travel. And Charvarius Ward went to play nickel sometimes. He followed A.J. Brown all around in that Philadelphia Eagles game. He made a key play on third down in the end zone to stop one of their opening drive touchdowns. Charvarius Ward has accepted every single challenge, and he is that guy. So if you want him on your roster, you definitely got to make sure you pay him. But yeah, I do remember that story. John Lynch had to step in and tell Steve Wilks, like, hey, we're doing this, right?
Yeah. Right now, he's relatively cheap, about $13.5 million. What do you think that he might get if he ends up hitting free agency? What do you think that he might get? He'd probably be well into the 20s, right?
Yeah,
high teens.
Yeah, I was thinking like $18 to $20 million would kind of be his range. We've seen some of the cornerback market slow down a little bit. You got guys like Stephon Gilmore, who had gotten big contracts just a couple years ago that are just sitting out there in free agency. With so many young cornerbacks, teams are definitely trying to find positions that they can skimp at. So I think that there is a huge market for the top-end guys, and I think Charvarius Ward's in that range. But yeah, $18 to $20 million, I think the 49ers would be around there. Maybe 18 sounds about right, at extra $5 million a year. To me, that seems like the most honest and legit answer for what he would probably garner on the open market.
Niner Sickness is in here. He said, what's hello, Mark and Anthony. Let's see who else. Josh said, I'm back. What's up, guys? Thanks for coming back, Josh. And Kenny said, rather pay Ward than settle for Demo. All right. While we're talking Demo, let's talk about Diamador Lenore, who is also a unrestricted free agent next season. I believe, let me see. Yeah, he is. He's not even making $1 million a year right now, but he's been really good and he's continued to improve. He's going to get paid pretty well, I think. I think that Matt kind of hit on this on Monday, that if you decide you can't keep both, and when you look at Brock Purdy, probably going to have a really big contract next season, you're probably not going to be able to pay both of your starting corners. So if you know, Kenny wants to keep Charvarius Ward, and I would say most of us would prefer Ward over Lenore, but I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Ward and then pay Lenore. I think that if they have to choose, they may stick with Lenore and have a really good starting corner. You know, he may not be one of the best in the NFL, but he's still really good. What do you think about Lenore? Do they have a chance to lock him up? Do they have a chance to lock both up, or is it one or the other?
I think there's always a chance, because I don't exactly know what Diamador Lenore's money is going to look like. We know the way the 49ers normally handle contract negotiations. They're going to try to say that, hey, Diamador Lenore, you play nickel corner 70 to 75% of the time. Here's what nickel corner money looks like. Because you do play on the outside some, we're going to kick you a little extra. But I think there's an avenue to pay both if you can structure it right, just with all contracts. But I think with Diamador Lenore, right now, he gives you something that you really like on your team. Number one, he would be extremely cheaper than Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward right now is thought of as one of the top five cornerbacks in the league. And with Demo, he's kind of middle of the pack. So when you're paying him, you can pay him a lot less, which means you can put other good players around him, which is always important. Plus, you have a young player you just drafted in Renardo Green. You might want to pair those two guys together for several years. So I think the 49ers would love to keep both. Just in all scenarios, you want to keep as many of your free agents as you can. But I think if push came to shove, they would choose to keep Diamador Lenore, because he's going to have a lesser price tag, still have versatility to play inside and out, and you have a young player, Renardo Green, that could step in and help out as well. So I think they're building for a scenario in which Charvarius Ward is not a part of this football team. But I think their goal, Parague, John Lynch, and Kyle Shanahan, is all to have Charvarius Ward and Demo within this defense, because that's gives you the best chance to continue to be one of the better defenses in the league.
Yeah, so Kenny said that he likes Demo. He just doesn't like his size. He thinks he's a little too small.
But he's a hyena.
Yeah, and he's feisty, man. He's very physical. And, you know, the 49ers used to go after the guys like Richard Sherman, who were the bigger corners, but they've kind of moved away from that a little bit. I mean, if they find that guy, then I think that they probably still prefer that bigger corner like Sherman, who can stick with those fast receivers, but they don't seem to be as locked into that particular type as they used to be.
No, because those guys have trouble changing direction. Getting in and out of breaks and being able to drive on footballs is more difficult for them, but the bigger corners really fit that cover three scheme, because they played a lot of bail technique. They played a lot of off coverage. So then it was about using size and length to their advantage. But when you're in a 49ers defense like it is currently, you got to be able to change direction. You're running a lot of different coverages, not just the cover three, but you're running palms, you're running man, you're running cover one. There's so many different things that you have to do. And so for the 49ers, having guys that can get in and out of breaks and change direction and be sticky in coverage is more important now as far as body type. So you see those guys that are around 6 foot, around 195 pounds is normally where the 49ers go now with size and speed, because those guys usually change direction at a pretty high level. And Demo's one of those guys. And I will say this about Demo being 5'10". I don't worry about it, because I've seen him line up against DK Metcalf. And never once have I thought, wow, he can't handle him because of size. It's always just been DK maybe got a little bit of power on him. But when it came to actual height, it was never an issue for me.
Yeah, I think that last year he really took that step. I mean, 2 years ago, he would be in position against a guy like DK Metcalf and then just couldn't quite reach the ball. But last year, his size didn't seem to be as much of an issue as it was the year before. So that's progress. Before we get on to the next ones, I'm going to kind of stay along that free agency thought. Brock Purdy is not scheduled to be a free agent in 2025, but by all accounts, this is going to be when the 49ers redo his contract. Do you think that they're going to take the same approach that they did with Warner, Kittle, Bosa, Debo, and who knows what happens with Ayuk, where they take all summer long? Or do you think they're going to get Brock Purdy extended early so that way he's part of the offseason program? Because I just have to think that your quarterback, you want to be more involved than even the average player.
I think they're going to want to get it done as soon as possible for a couple of reasons. Number one, you want Brock Purdy, like you said, to be a part of all the offseason program. It also plays into the fact that now you know what the structure of his deal looks like, the total amount of salary cap hit it has as you're approaching free agency and wanting to bring players in for 2025, 2026, and beyond. You know what money you're playing with. That's always important. But then also, that way, you just get everything together beforehand. You don't have to worry. You don't have to go through all the drama, all the stress of Brock Purdy. And that way, no other quarterbacks get paid some huge contract that you now have to overcome with Brock Purdy. Yeah. It could simply go from, you know, you were going to pay him one amount, and the next thing you know, you got to pay him $30 extra million because of a new deal, and you just can't do that. So I think there's a variety of situations and circumstances that make you want to get that deal done. I would guess that Parag Marathi has already worked on the framework of a new Brock Purdy deal and that they've, you know, been working on something. So when time comes and they can approach the agent, this is a lot easier than you think it's going to be. I think they're going to be more willing to pay him a lot of money because of what he's done. And that's what the position usually requires. And I think that quarterback negotiations, for whatever reason, go a lot easier than other positions. When you look around the NFL, I think Lamar Jackson was probably the one that seemed the worst, but everybody else, it seemed like it just worked out in a timely fashion. So I'm hoping that happens with Brock as well.
Yeah, and even if it moves slowly, I don't think that he's going to be scrubbing his social media accounts. I don't of 49er stuff. I don't think that he's going to be going on podcasts and bad-mouthing the team. So he's not quite wired like those wide receivers. So I don't want to spend any time talking about guys like Malik Collins or Devondre Campbell or Josh Dobbs, these one-year guys, Isaac Yedem, because they brought in a lot of one-year guys for 2024. And so I mainly just want to talk about those that have been here for a while. So another one on the list is Dre Greenlaw. I know it's hard to discern what how things might work out because we don't know what he's going to look like this season. If he isn't able to come back this season, or if he comes back late in the season, I think that that makes it easier for the 49ers to bring him back. Then again, if he comes back and he really balls out and looks like Dre Greenlaw looks, then that could make it difficult. But I think this is a guy that they have to figure out a way to bring back.
Yeah, I think the chemistry that he has with Fred Warner is one thing. But I also just think what he adds to this defense, the attitude. He's the enforcer of this defense. Removing him could definitely change the makeup of the entire defense. So I think the 49ers are going to be highly motivated to bring Dre Greenlaw back. We've seen them work out a negotiation a couple years ago and work out a deal when we weren't really expecting it to happen that early, and it was very modest as far as numbers go. I do think Dre Greenlaw's earned more money than he gets paid. I think he's going to get paid around $8 million this year. And so he could easily go into double digits, and I think the 49ers would be okay with that because they know that eventually they're going to rework Fred Warner's deal. They can create money for Dre Greenlaw. I think they need to keep them together, but they're also going to monitor his health and make sure he's going to be the same player that they think he's going to be. But I wouldn't be surprised to see a deal happen during the season to get Dre Greenlaw done before he ever even approaches free agency, because that's when money could go through the roof, because there are 31 other teams that would be willing to pay Dre Greenlaw to come to their football team, and they will pay him on what he's done in the past, not even what he'll do in the future. So I think the 49ers need to get that done, and I think they will. I think they'll make him a priority free agent as somebody they discuss during the season and try to get it worked out.
The next one on here is Brandon Ayuk, and of course, we're in the midst of this holdout in contract negotiation. Matt mentioned it on Monday. Ayuk is going to play for the 49ers this season. He doesn't have a choice. They're not going to trade him now. He's going to play for the 49ers. He can't hold out the season because he has to play a certain amount of time to get a season accrued so that he is closer to free agency. Because if he holds out the whole season, then everything kind of starts from where it's at now. We're at the same situation next offseason. So he can't just skip the season and then say, all right, I'm a free agent now. And so Matt talked about that they would play him on this fifth-year contract if they don't come to an agreement. And then in the offseason, I don't think that they would just let him go. You don't let a guy like Brandon Ayuk just get away. I think that they would tag him and trade him if he's not on the team. If they don't work out a contract extension now, here in the next few weeks, what do you expect to see from with Brandon Ayuk in 2025?
I think he's going to show up. You know, I think that he'll take this negotiations into most of training camp as they try to work out a contract. But I think the 49ers have probably made that clear. I think Matt Maiocco spoke, 100% correctly. The 49ers have no reason to trade Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk playing on $14.1 million works out well for the 49ers as far as current salary cap and getting a player that's well worth $14 million. You need him to be able to make a run at a Super Bowl. So, no, they're not moving on from Brandon Ayuk. And Ayuk was going to have to come in because you brought up he's going to start facing fines in training camp, let alone what he gets paid or what he gets paid for each game, every game he misses. And if he misses up to 10 games, yep, there goes the accrued season. But also there goes all that money. This is the biggest year as far as payday that Brandon Ayuk's going to get. He's not flush with cash to be able to withstand a long holdout like a Chris Jones or somebody that's on contract two or contract three. You just can't do that. So Ayuk is eventually going to come in. And then you're right. Next year, that's probably what they'll do. Franchise tag him. And if somebody's willing to come sign him, they have to give you two first-round picks. Not going to happen. But before the draft comes along, you might have a deal that you could put in place for Ayuk, or you could even go the Bengals route with T. Higgins and make him play on the franchise tag, which would be around $23 million. So it's still cheaper than what you would pay him. And then you still have the decision to make. You can let him walk in the next free agency, or you could tag him again and trade him. So the 49ers have a lot of ways that they can go about this. They have all the leverage. Could it make Brandon Ayuk very frustrated? Of course it can. But we've seen this happen before, and it just makes sense for the 49ers to hold on to a really good commodity and not give them away for nothing. And I think that's what they're trying to do here.
Kenny had a question in here. Are we not concerned about having no Dre, Armstead, or Huff game one? I'm a little. Yes, I am concerned about not having Arik Armstead, but not as much as having no Dre Greenlaw. Like you said, Ant, he's the enforcer. The 49ers need him. And as far as Talanoa Hufanga, he could be back week one. We don't know at this point. And I don't think that he'll be out very long if he isn't out, if he's not back week one. So yeah, I'm concerned for sure. I think that we have to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's the what you know versus the what you don't know. Because we know what Armstead, Greenlaw, and Talanoa Hufanga gave this 49ers defense. We don't know what Malik Collins, Devondre Campbell, and potentially a George Odom is going to give the 49ers in defense if those three aren't playing. I think the bigger question would be the safety position, where you're going to have a career special teams player in George Odom. He's had some starts. I don't want to discredit him because he's had some starts in Indianapolis, a couple with the 49ers. He's not like a terrible player, but he's not known for playing the position to the highest of levels. Going against Aaron Rodgers and that New York Jets football team, that gives me some concern. I think with Devondre Campbell and Malik Collins, a little bit different. Those two guys have been starters in the NFL and played a lot of football, including in Devondre Campbell's case, having an all-pro season. So it's just, you just don't know for sure. And I think until we get through games 1, 2, 3, we're not going to know about those guys. But hopefully Hufanga is ready, and then I'll have less concerns about the New York Jets and what Aaron Rodgers and that offense could do to the 49ers without Talanoa Hufanga at safety.
Well, speaking of Talanoa Hufanga, he is one of the undrafted free agents after the season. And again, this is kind of the same thing that we were talking about with Dre Greenlaw. We don't know what he's going to look like when he comes back. These days, a player can come back from a knee injury and still perform well. There was a time that it would take them a good year to get back to their to their normal ways, you know, unless it was Adrian Peterson. I mean, he came back at a crazy fast amount of time and was even better. And so I don't know. What do you think about Hufanga? Are they going to be able to bring him back? Do they want to bring him back? Is he too much like Jair Brown, or is he different enough that you want him back no matter what?
Yeah, I think there's enough differences between the two players. And really, the way the 49ers played the defense, it doesn't have to be a big difference between the two safeties, because they like to run left and right safeties. They like guys that can do both. And in this case, Jair and Talanoa Hufanga can do both. I think with Hufanga, it got a lot more interesting with the ACL tear. Now, I don't know what the end of the season would have looked like. I don't know if Hufanga would have helped the 49ers win a Super Bowl. I don't know if Hufanga would have played great down the stretch and made it to a Pro Bowl that would have enhanced his ability to get a good contract. But right now we have a situation where the 49ers have an injured player who's got to respond, and they've got to see in training camp preseason what they have, not only with Talanoa Hufanga and if his knee has responded to the recovery, but also what they have behind him. Because if they get a look at Malik Mustafa, they don't believe that Malik Mustafa is going to be a starter in 2025. They might think about paying Talanoa Hufanga to make sure they have him and Jair to play together for a while. And so I think there's a couple of moving parts here. A lot of it has to do with Hufanga's health, and then a lot of it has to do with how good Malik Mustafa shows that he is. If Mustafa starts looking like the guy that people believe he can be, you might be more willing to let Hufanga leave in free agency, save the money there, let Jair and Malik Mustafa play together, and just move forward. The 49ers are finding these, as Matt Maiocco said, conveyor belt positions where you can put people in there and just let it keep rotating. It looks like interior offensive line is one of those positions, the way they're going through guards. Maybe safety is one of those positions as well. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on. I think they would love to have Hufanga, but what's that price tag going to look like? It's not like he got paid a lot to be a fifth-round pick. He's going to want to make some money now for his sacrifices in playing in the NFL. So they're going to have to break off a little bit for him, and I just don't know if it's going to work out money-wise compared to what they have to do with the rest of the football team.
Right now, it looks like John Feliciano is going to be the starting right guard. There is a chance that things could change in training camp and he could be the starting center. I kind of doubt it, but I think that he's probably going to be at right guard. Is he somebody that you think that they might bring back in 2025?
I think it would come down to whether he wants to come back. Just kind of the way that I felt from the things he's posted on his social media when he was first signing was kind of like one last run, one last hurrah. And it got me thinking that if the Niners would have won the Super Bowl last year, he might have rode off into the sunset. So to me, this is a guy who's going to be 34 years old, and he's probably looking for an opportunity to win a Super Bowl and then maybe go ahead and call it a career. He's had a pretty good career. And so that's where he's at. And I mean, if he did decide to come back next year, the 49ers have proven they're not really worried about that kind of stuff. They brought back Deshaun Gibson for a second year, and so yeah, Feliciano would make sense. I do think they're prepared in case he doesn't come back, him and Banks, to go with Burford and Dominic Pooney. But I think that, yeah, Feliciano played so good last year. I think it's intriguing about him moving to center, especially with potentially an open door with Jake Brendel having the knee tendonitis. Him getting those reps during OTAs, he's been in the system for a full year now. Maybe he could step in, and if Chris Forrester's belief in Spencer Burford starts showing up on the field, you might actually elevate your offensive line by having a better Spencer Burford and then John Feliciano at center. So I think there's a lot that's going to be decided before we get to the regular season, but this is going to be a fun season with Feliciano and see where he's at.
You mentioned Aaron Banks. He's also scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent in 2025. Any chance they bring him back? Because I think that at guard, this is just one of those positions that they're going to let those guys go. I mean, we saw it. We've seen it before where they've let guards move on, even like Lakin Tomlinson, who was a good guard for the 49ers. They let him go. He got paid. Could Aaron Banks go the same route? I don't think Banks is as good as Tomlinson was, but I kind of see this going the same direction.
Yeah, I think it's all going to depend on his market. You know, it's kind of like you just let it play out. You let him test free agency. You let him see what he can get on the open market. And if he can't get much, well, then it might be affordable for you to bring him back and have him compete with some of the other guys that you have in the room. But if it's going to be a number that you don't like, you know, if it gets up in there to $7, $8 million and you're not feeling comfortable with it, yeah, you just let him go ahead and move on to another football team. Because Chris Foerster's comments during this offseason definitely illustrate he believes you can get guys in the draft, and with just a little bit of work, you can have them prepared to be able to step in and have sufficient line play in the NFL. So to me, I think you're right. It's not going to be a Lakin Tomlinson type contract out there for Banks. So that's the only reason it makes me believe, like, wait, if he doesn't touch $4 or $5 million, they could bring him back and have him compete. And I think everyone would be willing to have him do that. But then if it does get to a number that you don't like, you just let him walk and you thank him for his contributions. So I think he's going to really play out. And I think he's going to be one that tests free agency, and the 49ers just let him see what he can find.
How about our old friend, Ambry Thomas? He's also scheduled to be a free agent.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a free agent after training camp, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to make this roster. I think they've added so much talent, whether it was draft last year with Darrell Luter Jr., this year with Bernardo Green, but then also bringing in key free agents like Isaac Yedem, bringing in Rock Ya-Sin, and even having Samuel Womack. I think Womack and Ambry Thomas are on the brink of not making this football team, which everyone was super high with these guys when they got drafted. So I think the 49ers have done a very good job of building this cornerback room. I think the Ambry Thomas, trial has happened, and everyone was hoping after 2021 it was going to work out. But I think last year was a shot, and the inconsistent play, especially down the stretch, and the lack of physicality in the playoffs, I think they've moved on, and I think he's going to be able to go compete. And I think they're hoping they can get some good film on him and potentially trade him. But the likelihood is they're probably just going to cut him and he won't make the active 53.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about it. I like him as a person, but when we were doing the games for PSF, I just couldn't watch him much more. It was tough. Now, that being said, there were a couple of games in a row last season where he was really good, and he wasn't as bad as some of the players that they've had to play at corner in some of those seasons where there were injuries. So I don't want to beat up on him too much, but yeah, he's just not good enough. That's just plain and simple. The last one is Elijah Mitchell. And I don't know what you think about Mitchell, but I know they're not going to pay much for him to return next season.
No, I think this will be Elijah Mitchell's final year in San Francisco. Unlike a lot of people that think he's going to be traded, I think the 49ers love having the safety net of him being behind Christian McCaffrey. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I think they'll let him go ahead and leave in free agency next year, because I don't see any scenario where they could pay him what he's actually worth. And so I think that Elijah Mitchell will hit free agency. I think he will go to another team and get more opportunities, which he definitely hopefully will deserve after this season. Hopefully he stays healthy all year. But yeah, I don't think he's coming back. They'll probably get a comp pick for him if he gets a good enough contract, and then he'll go and play well for somebody else. And the likelihood is probably stay healthy. I don't know why that happens to the 49ers, but guys leave and they stay healthy the entire time. But yeah, I love Elijah Mitchell, but you got Christian McCaffrey now. You've got young players like Isaac Grendo in the pipeline. The 49ers are preparing for this moment.
Kenny said, breaking news, Elijah Mitchell blew out a flip-flop and stepped on a pop-top. He'll be out 5 weeks. That's that very well could happen. I'm sorry to say. I lied. There's one more. It's a restricted free agent, and that's Jordan Mason. As a restricted free agent, they have a good chance to keep him because if somebody comes in and makes an offer, the 49ers have the first right of refusal, so they can match that offer, or they cannot match it and receive draft compensation for whatever level of draft pick that they choose to put him at. Some, I have heard some this offseason saying that they think that Mason might get traded here during the preseason. Do you think that they hold on to Mason? Do you think that he comes back as a restricted free agent and on a one-year deal and then becomes an unrestricted free agent after that? Or do you think they work out a longer deal? What do you think happens with Mason?
I don't think he's going to get traded. I think that would make more sense than Elijah Mitchell if he did, because of the control that a team would have for him, making him a restricted free agent and so on. But the addition of him on special teams, I mean, he does a lot for the 49ers special teams. Not only could he be a part of the kick return, but also kick off this year where you need bigger physical bodies who can make tackles and run. So I think he's got that added element to his game that he could really help the 49ers on special teams. And plus, I just really think that they could keep him around for another year. I think that when it comes to his restricted free agent deal, I think they'll try to get something done earlier, a lot like they did with Colt McKivitz. You get a two-year deal where you give him a nice little pay raise that he's, you know, he makes a little bit extra money, and you realize that, hey, I'm going to have you 1 or 2 years, allow you to get Isaac Grendo ready and willing to go, because I think Grendo will eventually step into running back too. But yeah, I think they plan on keeping him, and I think he's going to pay huge dividends on special teams this season. The guy's a beast, and if you need a short yardage runner, he can definitely get it done.
Let's talk Deebo Samuel for a few minutes, because my, how the tide has changed. I mean, you look at the day after the Super Bowl, and what fans were saying was, let's get this extension done for Brandon Ayuk. Let's move on from Deebo Samuel because he can't get open, as we saw in the Super Bowl. But now you see all of this time that Ayuk has held out, some of the things that he's said and done, and Debo's come into camp, or looks like he's going to be coming into camp in really good shape. So it's possible that Deebo could have another great season, and Ayuk, if he holds out for any considerable amount of time in training camp, preseason, if he does what Nick Bosa did, for example, he could have a down year all the way around. And if that happens, maybe Debo's the one that they're wanting to keep long-term, and they're wanting to move on from Ayuk. Matt hit on it Monday, that it's possible that this is Deebo Samuel's last season with the 49ers. I've heard others saying the same thing. What do you think is going to happen with Deebo Samuel? And here in a second, we're going to take a look at some statistics, and I'm going to have you read that quote from Kyle Shanahan that was that you came across. So is he going to be back next season, or is this his last year?
Yeah, you know, I think that it is a lot predicated on what happens with Brandon Ayuk. I think that if Ayuk doesn't reach a contract extension with the 49ers and they play him on his fifth-year option and then potentially franchise tag him next year, there's no real reason to get rid of Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel's not one of the highest-paid wide receivers in the league anymore. He's out of the top 10. So as his money falls, his value is still where it should be. Deebo Samuel is still one of the most impactful players in the entire league, and let alone the 49ers. And Deebo has this real ability that when people count him out, that's when he shows up the best. And so I think he's got something to prove. I think he feels he's got something to prove. And that means look out, NFL, because Deebo's coming. And just seeing what I've seen from him as far as his workout videos, the work ethic that he's putting in, I haven't really seen Deebo work to this level in an offseason in his NFL career, which means he's coming on, and I'm excited about that. So I think there's a lot to be decided still. I think Ayuk's contract holds it a little bit in the balance. I have been one of the few that have said I believe that they could work out a contract for Brandon Ayuk that coincides with Debo's contract, and they could make this thing work. So I'm going to kind of stick to that. But right now, I don't think there's any reason to think Debo won't be a part of the team next year, because really you're not paying another wide receiver next year unless you're paying Ayuk, and it'll be about $23 million, very equivalent to what Debo's making.
Yeah, and Kyle loves Debo, so I can't see them moving on from him. Okay, can you see that?
Yeah.
Okay, so according to NFL rumors, Debo Samuel has led the NFL in yards after catch per reception in a season four times. No one in NFL history has done it more than twice in the last 30 years. That's one of the things that makes him so special, is the fact that what he's able to do after the catch is what makes him so good.
Yeah, that's the dynamic nature that Debo Samuel does different than every single other wide receiver that they have on their football team, because Debo can take any single ball to the house. Anytime he gets the ball in his hands, it can be touchdown. And that's tremendously different than the other players on the team. I think, McCaffrey, he often gets big explosive plays, and that's been an added addition. But when you look at the wide receiver room, who is the other guy that catches a slant for 3 yards and then goes to the house?
Yeah.
It's not Brandon Ayuk. It's not any of these other guys. It's not Juwan Jennings. It's Debo Samuel. He's the explosive element at wide receiver. And I think they're trying to add to that. You know, they tried to get Danny Gray. It hasn't worked out. Now they've brought in Ricky Pearsall, who's got 4.4 speed. They brought in Jacob Cowing. He's really an explosive player. So I think they're looking for more elements like that. But there's just no one like that. And I know we want to, you know, we put Christian McCaffrey and Debo in the same category a lot of times, and they are similar. Both of them catch the ball well. Both of them run the ball well. It's great. But when you look at position-wise, Debo's not as good a running back as McCaffrey. McCaffrey's not as good a wide receiver as Debo. And so I think that those two guys really complement each other in what they do. But Debo gives an explosive element to this 49ers offense. I think they would be very much missing if he wasn't a part of the team.
Let's see. The other thing that I wanted to show from Warren Sharp, most rushing touchdowns from outside the 10-yard line since 2021, Debo Samuel tied with Derrick Henry with 10. And you look at this list, there are two quarterbacks, Josh Allen and Justin Fields, on here. All the others are running backs except for Debo Samuel. That is really impressive. Since 2021, 10 rushing touchdowns from outside the 10-yard line. That's crazy.
It's tremendous. The ability to get to the end zone for Debo Samuel is just different. And yeah, he's listed right there. He has way less opportunities than Derrick Henry or the other guys who have these big runs, yet he has explosive plays. And I know some of them are gadgets, you know, reverses and counters and things like that, but we've seen him make people miss in the open field. We've seen him run people over in the open field, spin, get to the end zone. Debo Samuel is a special talent. That's why when people talk about how much he's making, he's making that money because he's a great football player. He's an explosive player, not because he's one of the top 10 wide receivers in the league, but he's one of the top 10 playmakers in the entire league. And so I love Debo Samuel, part of this offense, and he just adds an extra element that Kyle Shanahan loves, and I think that Kyle Shanahan needs. And he wanted this with a couple of different guys, and his work with Debo and now adding McCaffrey, it's just fantastic. I think there could be some real fun looks this year that I haven't even talked about yet that I'm saving for more content, but there's going to be some fun stuff this year. I can guarantee it.
Interesting thing here from Kenny. He said that Debo joined Charlie Taylor as only the second player in NFL history to have 4,000 receiving yards and 1,000 rushing yards in their first five seasons. So pretty impressive accomplishment there. Anything else that you have before we take off? We're getting close. I think rookies report next week. And in fact, the rookies report next, I think Tuesday, is that right? The 16th, I think. So yeah. When we meet again, rookies will have already reported. I don't know if we'll have much to report on because I don't know what the media, what they'll be allowed to see and do. but we'll at least have some little bit of semblance of training camp next week. And then the week after that, so the rookies report on the 16th, which is Tuesday, and then the following Tuesday, the rest of the team reports on the 23rd. So it's getting close.
Yeah, it is. And we're waiting to see, you know, when exactly that practices are going to be open to the public. And of course, you know, those are always interesting because a lot of people get out there and get to see it. I'm hoping I'm going to get out there and get to see some of training camp again this year. I've been going. I'm not going to have as heavy a schedule to training camp as I used to hold. There was one year I did all 14 open dates and it about killed me. So I definitely have scaled back, but it's a lot of fun. You get to see these players and you get a real good feel for how things are going. You can pay attention to the way guys are moving and playing. And I'm really excited for training camp because it means football is officially back. And now there's lots of conversations that get to happen about actual football. And that's always the funnest part. But I mean, we're less than a month away from the first preseason game. So this is time. This is the football season. And there's going to be tremendous, tremendous training camp battles that are going to be happening out on that field. Nothing is guaranteed for a lot of these football players. And I'm excited to see how it plays out. But more importantly, I'm excited to see what kind of next step the 49ers take. You know, what kind of the offense take another step forward? Are they more explosive than ever? Is the defense different under Coach Nick Sorensen? To me, this is just going to be a year full of really fun, enticing questions, but hopefully we get those answers, and I think it's going to be fun, and it kicks off in just a little over a week.
Yeah, and the 49ers should be another good team, just like they were last year. This time last year, we didn't know how much Brock Purdy was going to practice during training camp. A lot of us thought that Trey Lance was going to be starting maybe the first four games of the season. As it turned out, he was traded during the preseason, and Brock Purdy was ready to go week one. So they should be ahead of the game from where they were a year ago. So we'll see. But thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please make sure that you go like and subscribe to 49ers Camelot and 49ers Cutback. And join us next week. We'll be talking about rookies and their potential impacts in not only in training camp, but on the season.
This episode brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. You guys truly are the best. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.